listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Light program for Wednesday. What is it, August 15th, 2018? I'm Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And, of course, Michael Kelly joins us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. We have 9 of them, as is customary for this program. The first one is, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings, consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And these principles of belief are expanded upon on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. As I said, I'd like to welcome all those joining us live tonight, as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate you taking your time with us. And as we kind of get off on our topic tonight, before we do that, actually, I would like to read a pay it forward experience from one of our students. I like to read these when they come around. And of course, this is part of the first course in our degree program assignment, so to speak. It basically talks about doing right, doing no harm, doing right, which is essentially paying it forward. So let me read this. This was just submitted a few days ago. Anyway, the student says, he writes, the other day while at work, I was holding the door open for someone who works in the same building that I do, but is not necessarily a coworker. While doing this, I just got the feeling that something was off. So I asked her how she was doing, and this is when she had informed me that she was dead broke due to a wage garnishment and her bank account had been frozen. She broke down in tears right there in the door, explaining that she had no way to feed her family or the funds to continue to make it to work. I had expressed my concern and did the typical thing and told her everything would be all right, and we went our separate ways. About an hour later, the do what's right feeling hit me. I had extra cash on me for no particular reason, but I felt she could use more than me. I put the money in an envelope and I stuck it in her car, on her car windshield. The next day, I again was holding the door open for the same person and asked her how she was doing. She thanked me for the money. She said I was the only person she told, so she figured it was me who left it for her. She was able to get food for her children and took a lot of stress off of her. We now have a wonderful friendship thanks to that small act. What I was able to do for that family made me feel great. I learned to trust my instincts. I could sense that something was wrong with her, and just by asking about her day, I was able to confirm that feeling. You know, and that's the thing with these pay-it-forward opportunities. A lot of times our instincts will kick in, and we may or may not listen to those. And it's a learning process. I mean, it happens to all of us. We think, you know, I should have done something. It's happened to me. I should have done something. I should have acted. And for whatever reason, I didn't. And my mind was elsewhere, whatever it was. But that's, you know, anytime you have that opportunity and your heart's telling you something, your instincts are telling you to go further, you know, listen to that and perhaps make a big difference in somebody's life as this student did. All right, so.
I want to say, I think that's a great testimonial, by the way. You know, when I read that also, it just warmed my heart that somebody did that. Following your instincts, that was the key.
It was a great point. And obviously he had the wherewithal to appreciate that and learn that about himself. And again, it was an excellent story. So if you have a pay it forward story that you think might help encourage others, you know, send it to us. Just email it to us, admin@icmhchurch.org. Or if you're a student, just send it to the usual email address.
Well, speaking of letters, we got one from Fran. Thank you, Fran. And it's kind of inspired us to do tonight's topic. So I'll just read what a couple of sentences here that Fran had mentioned. She said, I have a serious interest in human DNA and the genetic memory connection. According to DNA research, we're the sum total of all who have come before us. That being the case, we should have access to the recorded memories and experiences of our ancestors. The question is, what methods can be used to tap in to this information? Like, those are really profound questions, first of all. But we have to, I think, explain what DNA and cellular memory is. Because it can get rather confusing. So I'm going to give it a good shot
here. Go for it. We're all waiting here with data.
All right. So I think that it's, when it comes to cellular memory, I think there's kind of two categories. One is anything that we do is now imprinted into the cells of our body. Every thought is imprinted into the body. So there's many cultures that if you repeat to go to a doctor for the same injury, they kind of stop treating you until you get to the root cause of why that there's an illness or an injury. And, I mean, it makes sense in a way. If you injured yourself or had an accident, there's emotional memory, intellectual memory, but there's also a physical memory. So it's to heal at all levels. So somebody can treat the physical, but there's other issues there. So that's the cellular kinds of memory. So I can't emphasize that enough, that everything we do is stored in our body. Every experience, every thought, every emotion. It's stored. It's always changing. It's changing form. We can intellectualize that to be different, but it's recorded. So we evolve with all this new information. It keeps kind of compiling, if you will. So if we think about it, it's kind of a library. That's what your body is. The other DNA memory is when it comes from previous generations. Now, science is really evolved in this way. If we just have to stop and think for a minute, how do animals instinctually know how to behave? How do they know, as you know, Dr. Kelly was saying before the program too, how does a cat know to cover its stuff in a litter box? You know?
Yeah.
How does a mammal know how to breastfeed? How does an animal know to get up on its feet right after it's born?
And why do certain animals have certain traits that others of their species don't?
Exactly. Again, it's not necessarily that they've had time to learn and mimic. It's right from the instant of birth.
Factory installed, as they say.
It's fascinating. So they now see that humans also have not just your DNA, like what color your eyes are, what color your hair is, or, that's where I get that nose kind of thing. There's other kinds of memory. But first, I just want to explain, I'm going to read this because I wrote about this in the Quantum Energy Healing Program, and there's a whole segment on cellular memory. But I'll read this one little passage. It's now believed that fears and behaviors can be passed down through genetics. Although it's still controversial within the scientific community, this is called epigenetic memory. Scientists have noticed a chemical change called methylation that takes place in a particular protein called histone H3. So this is how precise the science is evolving to say we have behavioral memory and emotional memory. And they have actually recorded it back to about 14 generations scientifically. And yes, it is still controversial. Indigenous communities, and getting at kind of what Fran's point is, you know, the memory of your ancestors. Indigenous communities believe that we retain a memory, an indigenous memory of all time. It only goes back 14 generations. It goes back to the beginning of time. We are this, a result of thousands and thousands of years, and our memory is imprinted like a library. So how would you then, so to get to the point of the question, how do you then say, how do you tap into that? Well, the question is, we don't really know, because a lot of people confuse memory or traits, experiences with past lives, or chalk it up to that's just who I am. But we can talk more about, Dr. Kelly's got a great point about savants, for example. But when I was first introduced to DNA memory, I was about 16, and it was the oddest thing.
It was like 10 years ago.
Huh? Yeah, right. It's true. A friend of mine was having these nightmares, and she was like my little witch friend. You know, we'd like look into spells and all kinds of fun things, you know. But she was having all these nightmares that wouldn't go away, and she was being burned at the stake for practicing witchcraft. And so it was terrorizing her. Finally, I said, you got to talk to your mom. You got to get some help with this, because the girl wasn't sleeping. She wasn't eating. She was terrified. Well, we sat down with her mother. She told her mother these dreams. Her mother didn't speak a word. She went to an old trunk and brought out a photograph, which is kind of like one of those sketch drawing artwork pieces, and because it was really old, and that was her grandmother. And you would swear that this friend of mine was that picture. They were replicas, twins of each other. And in fact, that's when my friend found out that that particular woman in this photograph was burned at the stake for practicing witchcraft. They lived in Massachusetts. She didn't even know they had migrated from the U.S. But sometime after that, the family, whereas perhaps the family was there, they saw it happen, and that's how afterward, you know, it's imprinted in memory. So, there can be a lot of theories. We could say that, I don't know, the dead grandmother was visiting her. We could say that. We could say it was a past life, but the evidence in that case by a photograph where she looks identical to the mother's story, the incident, it's DNA memory. It had imprinted in her. And in fact, so much so that she decided that witchcraft was evil and the occult was evil, doing readings was evil, and she actually converted to Christianity. And that's where it really goes to an extreme. And that being my introduction to DNA memory, I've always kind of wondered about it when people feel like they have a memory of living in another time and place, what they were wearing, who they were seeing, because it could be their own ancestors. Now, I would have dreams also of living in China, Tibet more precisely. Now, there is none of that in my DNA, so I'm going to take that to be a past life. But I do also, now that I've had my DNA done also, that I've had these dreams about Scotland or Ireland. Well, it turns out that some of my people are from there. So it's entirely possible I'm having these flashes of memory, you see, that come up in the dreams, or, gee, something triggers a warm feeling or familiarity, or even a fear, for that matter. So how do you tap into it? Well, some say hypnosis can be helpful, but it's where you get steered, you know, in these sessions, or what your belief system might be, to really be able to say, how do I access more of that? I really believe this, if there's one thing I can encourage, is to be more in touch with nature. And that when we think naturally, feel naturally, connected more with just nature all over, like in an overall, then we're connecting more with the nature of our bodies and the nature of our memory, more about who we are. Not just what we've evolved into, but where we come from and what exists, you know, in like lands before time kind of thing. So that's a suggestion. But I think the really fascinating area that you were bringing up, Dr. Kelly, about savants, like how does a kid know to play piano at age 3? Well, it's not to say that it's not a past life. It could very well be that there was music in the genetic factor that showed up 4 or 5 generations later.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's all kind of connected here. You know, you were talking about your ancestors from Ireland, Scotland, whatever, and I know Norway, and yeah. You know, it got me thinking about how certain areas resonate with me more so than other areas. For example, the American Southwest, for some reason, resonates with me. Now, I traveled around the Southwest with my dad when I was a kid. You know, he would be out working and doing his thing in insurance, and I'd go along, so I was around the Southwest. So that could be part of it, but there's another aspect, another area of the world that resonates with me for some unknown reason, and that's the Pacific, the South Pacific. I mean, I have Irish roots, right? But Ireland's never resonated with me, nor any European country, nor any Asian country. Now, Australia, which is close to the South Pacific, you know, is also fascinates me for some reason. And I don't know why, but it's interesting, you know, that's what it is. It just is what it is. But that also leads into the idea of savants, you know, math whizzes or musical whizzes or whatever they do. You know, where does that come from? I mean, it could be epigenetic, genetic memory. Is it possible that they're tapping into, you know, the Akashic record and downloading these skills, so to speak? This is all speculation. You know, I'm just throwing that on the table for food for thought. You know, we don't know exactly where it comes from, but there's no doubt that these savants are amazing. And it's always shown the potential of the human being, what we're capable of. And yet most of us are not savants. Most of us can't calculate, you know, several different mathematical equations and so forth in our head. You know, most of us can't just sit down at a piano and play like we played for 30 years. So it's coming from somewhere.
Well, and in some cases, this is where it could be quantum physics could give us some explanation that all things are happening now, you know, and tapping into these alternate universes. That's entirely possible. But very specifically in matters of science, that's where we can be a little bit more sensible, logical, grounded to say that if you're resonating with something or having an experience, that it could very well be from, like even a behavior. A friend of mine, she had a child that never met his father, but she would say as he was growing up, she said, it's alarming. She said, I divorced his dad because I didn't like him even before the baby was born. It went sour. And she said, but he is the spitting image of his father. He walks like him, talks like him, mannerisms like him, and yet this boy had never met his dad. There's other indications, too, of stories where a behavior, a walk, a stride, or...
gait. That,
yeah, it just... Even slight little flick of a hand or something, you say, whoa, my grandma used to do that. And yet it didn't show up for two generations, then it's in one of my kids. You know, like, whoa, that's just familiar. Or this is another kind of odd thing where somebody comes up with a saying. And you say, where did you get that? Because it was something that their grandmother used to say, but the child had never been exposed to that grandmother. Do you know? So there's indications that we have some extraordinary capacities for remembering. So how much then of ourselves are we ourselves? We're a culmination of all that's gone before us into now. You are your own unique soul, but you are combined with a unique compilation of DNA.
That's because we're both, you know, we're spirit and physical, you know.
Yeah.
It's dual. And so, there's also one other aspect that comes into play with all this, and that is that genetic memory to be passed down needs to be experienced prior to the descendants being born, you know, otherwise it's not in there.
Well, Fran just made a comment in the chat. It's believed that traumatic experiences can damage DNA, and that's true. Absolutely. She said if we go back and identify specific instances, maybe we can begin to heal and become more human, more of ourselves. Now, that's another interesting angle on it, Fran, because through hypnosis, people have been known to overcome extraordinary events. You know, what you'd call a damaged DNA, something that came from before. Some of these stories are quite off the wall, like somebody being born blind, but later just can see for some reason because there was no medical reason for them to be blind. Let's say you have a particular, you're born with a mole or a scar on your body that wasn't had in this lifetime. You can heal that memory and then those things disappear. It's very odd. I've seen some pretty strange things in my time, but there are some incredible books and documents on these experiences. So you can go back and heal the emotional memory. That's what's important to know. Once you acknowledge that you have acquired that from someone or some other time and place, you acknowledge that, you can keep it, or you can change it. See, that is how we become more self-aware and awake in choosing who we want to be, how we want to do that.
And that kind of segues into the point Michael had to discuss. You want to talk about that some?
Well, a couple of things that I had been thinking about was how memory from our ancestors and genetic memories might express themselves in ways that are more abstract. They're not through language, not necessarily through memory, but, you know, those instinctual things that we kind of feel, the patterns that we go through in life. And this, you know, makes me think about how the metaphysics of what we are, our abstract thoughts, how they translate into language and how it translates into behavior, you know, how the mind doesn't have a location, all of these things kind of tie in together to where the physical influences the abstract and the abstract influences the physical and the duality of nature. And it occurs to me also, you know, as I've been listening, that, you know, that the lessons of our ancestors, they're always kind of present in subtle ways that you never really think about. It's going on in your subconscious. And just behaviors like you'd mentioned, the story of the sun, taking after the father that he didn't know. But little things like that we kind of do without ever really realizing it, even perhaps fears. But it's amazing what the amount of information that's passed down. And there are stories, you know, like, for example, since DNA testing has been so popular, something that a lot of people have been finding out is that the two siblings will get the DNA test. They'll find that they have different percentages of DNA from different parts of the world. But, you know, they, of course, through the testing and through study, they know that they are biological siblings, but each child got a different mix.
Major.
Exactly. Yeah. Major, different mix of the of their parents' genetic history. There's some amazing stories. There's a fascinating story from the UK where an interracial married couple, they had twin daughters. The father was black and the mother was white. And the twins, twin girls, one twin looks completely white and the other black, but they share the exact same facial features. One is blonde and blue-eyed, and the other is, you know, brown hair, brown eye, but everything else is the same. It's really remarkable.
I saw that story. It's really interesting.
It just shows how varied DNA can be, how it shows up in ways that you don't expect, sometimes generations later, and how really we are the walking embodiment of all of our ancestors and all of the decisions that they made. Because of what they did, we are here.
Well, it's interesting because in my father's family, everyone has blue-black. There's four brothers. Three of them had blue-black hair, dark skin. And then one, the youngest one, was blonde, blue-eyed, and as white as a sheet. And everyone thought maybe my grandma was like a little indiscreet. But since I've had my DNA done, what they believed they were is not what they were. And I have come to learn that another relative got their DNA done that matches mine. So it turns out I'm not a strange child. But it also explains that this one uncle, because there's a majority Scandinavian on my dad, a good percentage of Scandinavian on my dad's side, and nobody knew that. So that it was after so many generations, they suddenly get this white, blonde, blue-eyed child that had there had not been a blonde blue-eyed child for like three generations, so he suddenly picked it up. So that's in I think the more evident one. So I think if we take it further to imagine the emotional memory, and as you mentioned, Michael, like a fear, where did I get that fear? Why do I have that fear? Well, yeah, who knows? If you have an ancestor who was in a war, if you have an ancestor who was impoverished, you know, it would explain why you're afraid of being poor. Do you know, it can kind of impact in really subtle ways that you say, I don't have a reason in this lifetime to be like that. So it's fascinating.
Everything ties together.
It's a great topic. And Fran, I want to thank you again for suggesting it. And this goes out to everyone. If you have a topic that you'd like to hear discussed on this program, just send us an email, admin@icmhchurch.org, or if you're a student, send it to the usual email address you have for us. It'll get to us. And we would love to, you know, we're looking for ideas too. And so we appreciate that very much. I appreciate everybody's comments and so forth in it. Any concluding comments on this topic?
Well, I would encourage Fran to keep digging around. Like I have been looking at this and watching science evolve for a long time, and if Fran gets more information, please share it with me because I find it truly fascinating. But how can we access more of it? I other than hypnosis and doing your own research about family, not just to find out your DNA, but to find out their stories, find out the characters, what kind of ingredients there were, and then kind of be self-aware. Other than that, I don't really have a suggestion about, you know, how to keep digging in about, you know, learning more. So I guess we're going to pick some cards now, are we?
Yeah, if you'd like a card pulled for you and you haven't put your name already in the chat room, go ahead and do that. Our inner oracle cards are simply learning tools. They're self-discovery tools. And so as a kind of a tradition in the last 3 or so years, we have this portion of our program to pull these cards and basically give everybody some food for thought. So it looks like Heather is the first on the list.
Well, I pulled one for you, Heather, and maybe, Michael, you can be on standby for Edward there. I got number two for you, Heather. It's in the self-acceptance, life leadership, paragon suit, esteem and validation. So I'll read it to you. Self-esteem and self-worth is based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. So that means what other people think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem either. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. So even if you're okay with yourself, Heather, maybe this is a card because you're dealing with someone else who has an issue and it just brings it to light. So in whatever way this card resonates with you.
Good.
All right, Michael, what have you got for Edward?
And for Edward, I pulled number 43, expediency.
I haven't gotten that one in a while.
Has been a little bit. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now, or you can suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avail, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Good card.
Mm-hmm.
Always
I
good
like
saying.
It. Well, Dr. Jeff, good to see you here today. I got 23 for you, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, the question is, what's the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof. I sense a mystery. It's a good one. So I hope you can, you know, connect with that card. So Fran is next, Michael.
And for Fran, I pulled number 13, positive consciousness.
I like it.
It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we often find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
You know, the first line in that, you know, read that first sentence again, son, would you?
It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive.
You know, and I suppose that could be subject to controversy as well. I mean, it's for some people, it's so easy to be negative and just look at the downside. And yet for other people, it's so easy to look at the upside. And they're different people. You know, different people have different ways. But, you know, when you think about that a little deeper, it's like if... It goes into existential issues, really, because why do things have to be this way? Why is it that we live on a planet where everything eats everything else and where it seems like everybody wants to kill everybody else? You know, that's not totally true, but it's you know, we're evolving. And this goes back to the DNA and genetic memory thing. You know, it's part of evolution. We evolve, we grow. we grow toward enlightenment. And the greater the enlightenment, the less the negativity and the more the positivity. The greater the enlightenment and the evolution, the less we want to hurt others, because we respect other people then. And so, you know, if the soul's natural inclination is to be positive, let's go with it. Let's run with that. And any of the negatives, we just need to press the cancel button, cancel, and change the channel to something positive.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I'd like to add something to that real quick.
Yeah.
We talk, you know, to tie into the genetic memory and what have you. I mean, just realize that the fact that our natural inclination is to be positive is proof that we come from generally positive people, that the human race is horrible as it can seem at times, is more often than not made up of just genuinely decent people that are trying to get through life. And also remember that no matter what you see on the news, no matter what you see going on, the sensationalized things, not to detract from the fact that there are real crises going on in the world and real problems, but statistically, and this is an average for really every major region of the earth, it is safer to be a human being now than it ever has been in our history.
That's a great point.
And you are less likely to die a violent death now than at any other time. It's not just our medicine that's gotten better. It's our behavior toward each other that's gotten better, statistically across the board. You have anomalies. You have war zones, yes. Those are statistical blips. But looking at our species as a whole, we are becoming more peaceful. It is happening.
Oh, that's a great point, son, and I'm glad to hear you say that.
Well, we have Cecilia next. Cecilia, I pulled number 40 for you, and that's relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. And don't be judgmental. We know you're not, but that's just the card and a reminder here. Otherwise, end the relationship, regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card may refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. So it doesn't just apply to people, it can apply to habits, it can apply to behaviors, just like we're talking. You acknowledge something and say, I'm not having a good relationship with myself, then you can change those kinds of things. So I hope that makes sense to you at some level, Cecilia.
That goes back to the same thing we were just talking about, too, is focusing on the positive and not giving in to the dark side, so to speak, to the negative.
So Sherry is next. Michael, have you got one for Sherry?
I do. I have number 25, Power of Belief. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and a means of lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
Good. And that ties right back into everything we've been talking about.
Yeah, there's a little thread going on here. So Dr. Jeff mentioned something about, are we pulling for the group? And I messaged back. He has now said number 35. Thanks for that, Dr. Jeff, by the way. Number 35 is, I love this. I mean, thank you for this, too. Number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Now, how is that? What a great way to end the program. Hey,
yeah.
That's awesome. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality toward others as well as ourself. Remember, you are of divine energy. And I think from the beginning of this conversation, too, we are a spirit joined with a body. We're connected with all the universe and energetically with all life, but each of us has our own DNA. But don't forget that we're spirit first.
Yeah.
That's a constant.
Excellent points and great comments in the chat room. Great cards, poll, great points we discussed tonight. And you know, if nothing else, it gets us thinking. It expands our awareness. It expands our minds. And that's the point of this program, is to just get people thinking, you know, just, you know, provoke to thought, disturb to action. And so hopefully we've been able to do that. And, it, you know, and it helps us too. I mean, we get thinking and expand. I mean, everybody benefits from it. So if you know somebody who could benefit from this program, please let them know. And again, if you have a topic you'd like to hear discussed, please don't hesitate to let us know. We'd be happy to hear from you. All right, so we've had a good discussion tonight. We appreciate everybody's time and attention, those listening live, those listening to the archives. And thanks to Dr. Hunter, as always, and Michael as well. And so until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Really live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.